Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast, where top football coaches from around the country share their stories, philosophies, concepts, and strategies to help you get better on and off the field. Now, here's your host, Keith Grabowski.
Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. I'm joined today by the head football coach at Missouri S&T, Coach Todd Drewy. Coach, it's great to have you back here on the podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's always a good time.
So, Coach, I was trying to think about this. I think you and I first met. We were both working a camp at Wash U in St. Louis, and I think it was probably the summer of 2016. So it was some time back then. I was offensive coordinator at Oberlin. You were the DC at the time at Missouri S&T. And so things have evolved, because the last time I talked to you on the pod, you were the DC. Now you are the head coach. So congratulations on that. And
thank you.
I guess the first question is, how has life changed since you've become the head football coach now?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I guess really 70% of my job stayed the same. You know, I just, you know, coaching the defense, coaching ball and recruiting. And then, you know, that other 30% is now making a lot more decisions, a lot more decisions with finality and, you know, managing, you know, the players and personnel and all that stuff. So, no, but it's been good. It's been great. You know, really happy to stay here and have the opportunity and, you know, just keep what we've been doing going, hopefully, and, you know, keep moving this program in the right direction.
Coach, now that you are involved as the head coach, I'm sure now you got to go over the dark side, which is the offense, and you know, understand and be involved in the game planning, understanding the big picture and how it all fits together. From that standpoint, you know, how do you meet that challenge, I guess, of time, in that I'm sure you're still going to be involved in calling and coordinating the defense?
Yeah, I mean, I got great coaches over there, and Andy Ball, our offensive coordinator, and Mike Burton, our quarterback's coach, and Damian Ross, our receiver's coach, and those guys do a great job. You know, we've been running a version of this offense here for, you know, the past 6 years, and so basically they're keeping a lot of that the same. But I guess, I mean, my main input just comes from, hey, what hurts us? Hey, let's make sure we're seeing the things that hurt us. And when I see something good on tape, then I'm like, man, that's hard. You know, then I make sure I, you know, express that to them. And then the other thing, too, is I just try to, in practice, I try to throw as much at the quarterbacks as possible from a coverage standpoint and a disguise standpoint, and make them really have to, you know, read their keys and see a lot of different coverages and looks. And so I try to help with the quarterback development from the defensive perspective, I guess you could say.
Coming up through a program and then taking it over, a lot of times you are able to provide, I guess, that consistency. But I think every head coach has, you know, his own twist on things. There might be a lot of similarities, but essentially how the culture is built now 100%, you know, comes from your leadership, or I should say starts with your leadership. In that regard, What are the main things you've been focused on in, you know, continuing the success you guys have had and in building your culture?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, the great thing about it was just, you know, 90% of things are staying the same here. I mean, we had a, you know, obviously we were 10-2 last year, and we didn't get to that spot overnight. And so our culture has grown over the past few years. And so really, really keeping a lot of the things we do the same. But, you know, as far as from my perspective, just coaching the culture of the guys, you know, we are, you know, we're a big ERO team, and, you know, guys, you know, don't matter, get better, and no BCD, and coaching the guys' character, make sure we're coaching the guys' thought process and where they're at mentally, how they're responding, how they're, you know, to their events, and then transferring that on into life. And so that's been our main focus, just, you know, tweaking some of those things and getting everybody on the same page. But like I said, you know, 90% of our culture is staying the same, because I mean, we you know, we were doing a good job here before, and we're gonna, you know, just keep getting better.
Yeah, and I love that system for culture and that you mentioned with E plus R equals O, and doesn't matter, get better, and you know, the stuff that Brian Kite and his dad Tim Kite put out there, and certainly I think become popular in our world, in the football world, through their work with what they did with Ohio State and you know, reading the book and all the things they did with Urban and Above the Line. So always, I think, a great place. And you talk about consistency. Those are some great, you know, Brian calls it the physics of culture, really that you can build upon and you can remain consistent. I think that's, that's probably what you've found, I think, in some ways in taking over the program. I'm sure kind of settling as a head coach that you understand that system very well.
Yeah. And it's just so simple. You know, you get into this leadership stuff and there always get experts out there and, you know, there's some guys that, you know, I don't know, you just get into it and it's like, it can't be too complicated. You know, you don't have time to think about all that stuff. That's why I like the acronyms. That's why I like, you know, bringing it, recentering yourself and pressing pause and doing all those things. It's so simple and it transfers so well. And being able to do that with the defense and really preach that to the defense and not do that with the whole team. I feel like our guys have embraced it, you know, and they catch me on it sometimes. You know, they hit me with, hey, coach, no BCD, coach, you know, or whatever, and it's really good.
That's awesome. And you know, like Brian says, you hear all the time, you see him, he is so active on social, but, you know, simple wins. I think that's the key.
Yep.
And I think not just with building a culture, but really in how this game operates. I mean, you can go down rabbit holes and get so complicated, but when you look at some of the best coaches out there, and I'm finishing up reading a book called Gridiron Genius by Michael Lombardi, and he talks extensively about Bill Walsh, Nick Saban, and Bill Belichick, who he was able to, you know, work with those guys. And at the heart of what all those guys do is something that really truly is simple, but because of the way they understand it, the details they put into it, and the tools that they build into everything, you know, it becomes something that's very complex for an opponent. You know, I mean, I just heard, you know, one of the chapters today, like Bill's call is always 3-4 cover 2. It's, you know, that's his base defense, but, you know, it doesn't always look like that. And it handles what they need to handle.
Yeah, I think being simple is, I mean, you know, having a base, that's first and foremost, having something that is your bread and butter, right? And the kids know it. You can line up the information. You can, you know, just keeping things simple is so important. And then off of that, you know, and that's kind of like what we're going to talk about today. But we are very simple. You know, we have a base call that we play. And but to that base call, we might line up in one high. We might line up in two high. We might line up in everybody across the board at 8 yards. We might, you know, we have different alignments and things. And how do you play fast and smart, relentless and tough and do those things. But at the same time, you know, you're not looking always the same, you know, making that quarterback make a post-snap decision, you know.
Exactly, which does lead us to our topic today. And I think you brought to me, I believe it was sometime, it might have been at AFCA. I can't quite remember when. I know it was sometime early in 2019, but this concept of how you guys practice, and I was very intrigued by it for a number of reasons. Number one, I think it's a very efficient way to do things. You guys are getting a ton of reps. You're really making it kind of the mental side of things. And then, you know, just kind of what we're getting across the board, really college level, high school level, you know, reaching all the way down to youth, that there are limits on the amount of time we can have contact within what we do. And I think that's going to be a trend that continues as we put player safety at the forefront of this game, is that we have to be innovative with how we do things. So, you know, what might have worked for us 10, 20 years ago with us lining up for 25 minutes and just scrimmaging and going full go might not be the best way to do that anymore. And really, we have to separate a lot of times, I think, some of that physical from the mental and decide how much of that physical contact work do we need versus how much are we really out there wanting to improve our players' recognition, their vision, their decision-making. And what you guys have done in this idea you shared with me, I think, accomplishes everything we're looking for and keeps up with some of the demands of what's being placed on us today.
Yeah, and I think a lot of it comes back to, you know, we teach from a concept standpoint of concept, alignment, key, and execution. And then, you know, if the guys know where to get lined up and they know what their assignment is and they have their eyes in the right spot, then they can focus on their technique. If those things, you know, if they know their assignments and they can play fast, then their techniques and everything improves. You know, if they're still thinking about their assignment when the ball snapped, then I mean, they're not going to be thinking about their technique, you know, or you know, what you're reacting defensively, you know. Right. So,
And that's what you guys have been able to build in this, where you guys get a ton of reps. And it's something that evolved. And as you and I were talking about how this started, really was some of the demands or limitations, I guess, placed on practices where at the NCAA level, you know, you get one per day and you get a walkthrough. So you want to be as efficient as possible with the time you have. And so that's where this concept and this format evolved for you.
Yeah, so we were coming into camp and we had four groups defensively and we were trying to figure out how to get everybody, alignment assignment. How do we get lined up? How do we get the call? And so, obviously we had a walkthrough format where it started with a set of cans and, we had offensive formation. You have a group out and you call it the call, you get everybody lined up. And then we kind of evolved that to two sets of cans and then we got to three sets of cans. And so we had a set of cans on the right hash, middle of the field, and left hash. And we put out bags for formations. And then we'd have, one group in the hole or on deck. And then, three groups out with three different coaches. And they're running through formations and calls. And we scripted it out. And, we got really efficient with, we were getting a lot of reps, 25 reps in, 10 minutes or so. And it was great because we were getting everybody lined up. Everybody's getting a different formation on a different spot of the field because we know how much that changed things. We were really moving through it. And what we realized was, hey, once we got into, the season with scout teams, we were like, let's just replace those bags out there. That was the number two receiver. Let's put the scout team out there, the offensive players. And so, so then basically we started putting two sets of cans on the same hash, 20 yards apart. And there'd be a coach at each set of cans. And they'd have five scout players with them, offensive skill players. We'd have a printed out script, and they would have scout cards, and the defense would be in the middle. So if the defense was facing the north set of cans, they'd about 50%, they'd run through a play. They'd get the routes or they'd get the run action with the RPOs, all those things. We'd run our calls, and then they'd flip right around on a whistle, and now they're right there, and they set up the next formation. D-line has to jog down about 20 yards, set up the next formation, run the next play. And so it was a rapid fire, about 50% speed, but we were able to get, all the routes, all the RPOs, all of our calls in. Yeah, really. I mean, that period kind of grew and grew and grew for us last season. We're like, last year we do an inside run period, we do a team period, and then the rest would be on cans, honestly.
So in terms of the amount of reps you're getting, in general, you have that team period where you, whether it's thud or live, I don't know how much of that you guys do versus the amount of reps then you get in this format, which is built off of that walkthrough format. How does that pan out in terms of the amount of reps between each of those?
Yeah, I felt like defensively when we had a scout period, we're limited on scout players to start with. Our scout line is that those guys are working their tails off, but that's not always the best look. We're in that 10-minute period, if we're getting 12 quality reps, I think we were going pretty good with the guys that we had. And so the can period, I mean, we've gotten as many as 30 reps in 10 minutes, so we were basically just, we were rotating every four plays. As far as the amount of reps go, it was almost triple, and you can push it as fast as you want, but we would really, we'd go through the rep and sometimes we'd do it twice. We'd make sure that we guys were aligned perfectly and their eyes were in the right spot. They're hitting D-line, was hitting their aiming points. Linebackers were reading their keys, all those things. You can slow down or speed up as much as you want, honestly.
And I would say in hearing you describe that, that's exactly it. Is what do you want out of your defense? What are the things that you're focused on? Because it's not just being about out there getting the reps, but it's being, perfect on those keys and on, whatever things you are counting on them to see and adjust to. That's really the focus rather than making it about all the physical execution. Like you said, they need to know where they're going first before all the things where they're worrying about how.
We're still getting all of our physical contact in as well. I mean, we start with pre-practice, and we do our circuits, and we do our individual drills, and we're doing crossover with the offense. And we are still doing, the old school, scout period where we get the full speed rep versus the O-line and, all those things. But then, those last two periods of the day, we're just like, okay, we've gotten that work in. We've ran to the ball. We've pursued the ball. We've gotten off blocks. We've covered you know, the different concepts with whatever we're pattern reading, whatever we're doing. And now let's make sure we're getting the extra reps. Because like one of the things I'm huge on is if we're going to ask a kid to be perfect in a game, you want him to do his job 100 out of 100 times, then is he getting enough reps of that particular defensive call versus that particular offensive play? Are you getting every rep in practice to hold that kid accountable to being right 100% of the time? And because if you're blitzing the run, then are you seeing that blitz versus that same side of the run play? How many of those reps is the kid getting during the week? Because I bet you if you go back and look, a lot of defense coordinators, that kid will have gotten that rep based off his rotation and based off that blitz versus that play call. That kid might have gotten that rep 2 times that week, you know, potentially. And we're asking that him to be perfect 100% of the time. Where in this format, without killing our bodies and without, you know, doing all these, like we are getting every rep versus every play call, and we are fitting it up. And so our defensive execution, you know, just went through the roof. I feel like assignment wise, we didn't have missed assignments, you know, really. We had, you know, obviously technique and different things, but as far as the guys going where they're supposed to go and doing what they're supposed to do versus, you know, because then the other thing is like we just stopped lining up in our normal stuff, you know, and anybody watches our tape and see it, but like we are going to disguise what we're doing, and we're going to show one thing, we're going to show blitz, we're going to back it out, we're going to bring it from that side, we'll show blitz one side, bring it from the other side, we'll two high, one high, you know, Tampa two, look, I mean, we have different alignments on the back end, and so if we can do more of that stuff without increasing the playbook, you know, then but you just gotta make sure you see it versus every, you know, all the looks you're gonna see on Saturdays. And so that's why I'm just such a huge fan of it. I mean, it was huge for us this year, I feel like.
When you look at the guys up front, because they're facing cans, they're not facing bodies coming at them. How do you make this still very valuable for them? What is it from a mental standpoint that you really want those guys focused on to get the most out of these periods?
Yeah, so anytime we're gonna walk through the D line, we have, you know, we key men, we don't key the ball. And so we just have them wherever their visual key is, we want them putting their hands there on the snap and then stepping through their gap. And so they're always attacking the line of scrimmage, laying their hands on a can, whether they're moving one gap, two gaps, whether they're playing knockoff or an edge technique. They're always landing their hand on an aiming point and then playing through their gap. And then we'll tell the like if there's, you know, different teams do, you know, different exotic things up front. And so if there's a look where we're getting a backside fold block or, you know, out with the guard and a fold behind with the tackle or something. We have already gotten that rep in Indy. We've already gotten that rep in inside run. We already got that rep in the team period. And so we'll tell them, hey, you know, hey, you're getting that X block on the backside here. You know, so sometimes we'll give them those clues, you know, based off the formation of the play. We'll just tell them what's coming. So that way they can, you know, in their mind, they're like, okay, yeah, this is that play, you know. But we have, you know, we've already gotten those reps. We're just not getting 100 of those reps up front. So, but yeah, we try to always hit our aiming points. We try to, you know, make sure that the D line's still coming off the ball. If you see on tape when I go back and watch these, you know, you'll see the D line as they're rushing the passer. Say we're running it's a third down period, and we're running some of our blitzes or stuff. You'll see them come off the edge, and then they're working their hands on air. You know, they're working their moves. You know, so they're mentally engaged. And I think that's one thing though that is important from like our team this last year. They were the best team that I've been around so far at snapping in and locking in. And when it was time to focus on what I'm supposed to do, they were fully focused. And when it was time, when football, you know, when that period was over, then they were relaxed. But they just did a great job of like, hey, this is what I should be doing right now. I should be working on my pass rush technique. I should be thinking about the set or the overset of the O lineman, and I'm gonna go ahead and work my hands and my move, you know. And so they could really handle that from a mental perspective of staying engaged in that, you know. And I thought that's important too, you know, with these periods. I mean, because you know, if your guys get out of control, I mean, you got to make sure they're locked in, they're dialed into what they're doing, and they know the purpose behind it, they know their why, so that way they can get the value out of it too, you know.
Absolutely. When I look at this kind of format, I could see how this is very valuable, you know, not just for a college program, but especially for, there's a lot of high schools out there who, you know, maybe hurting for numbers a little bit, or maybe don't have that full set of linemen who could give their scout the look out of the scout team that it needs, that this is something that becomes a very valuable tool, because you, like you said, you can simulate those things in your individual or your group periods. Now, being able to put some of that there and give them the cues they need for the mental reps. So I could see how this applies definitely across the high school programs. In looking at this format, now that you are accountable for the development of the whole team, how could you make this work on the offensive side as well?
Offensively, it's different because you're dictating the formation, you're dictating the tempo offensively. So I think it's easier to run like offenses for years have been doing, you know, plays on air, right? You just run through a drive and you can run the ball, throw the ball, you know, do all those things. And that's what defensively we haven't been able to do. We haven't been able to run plays on air because, you know, we need to know where to line up. And so this is kind of like our version of, you know, plays on air. But I could see, like, if you're running, you know, if you had a, you know, 10 play script of plays on air or whatever, a tempo period or whatever, and you could throw out four DBs, you know, and maybe get your one high, two high reads or whatever you're reading offensively. If you're reading the alley defenders, throwing out alley defenders, or reading corners, or putting guys out where they could, you know, change post snap. Because I think defensively, that's one thing I try to do, is make the quarterbacks make a decision post snap, especially with all the RPOs, you know. So if we're moving post snap and they're supposed to be reading something post snap, then I think that helps us a ton in the mental side of things. I'm putting more on the quarterback's plate. And so I think if you can simulate that in practice, whatever that read key is for the quarterback, whether it's just zone read or whether it's a, you know, a bang eight, and make sure that he's getting those inside of those, you know, so whether it's just a shell or something like that, maybe.
I think that's a really good way to look at it, thinking of if you've gotten to that point where physically you've gotten your work done, you have what you need, maybe you don't have that set of bodies out there that's going to give you the full, you know, all 22 picture that you need, but it gives more to it than your plays on air. And I've heard coaches, more and more coaches recently, talk about how they work a lot of plays on air just to get their tempos down. And I think, though, you know, you have that opportunity. Again, how do you use your time? That's not going to change. Everybody has, you know, that playing field level format. Everybody has the same amount of time to prepare. So what do you do to be more efficient with it? And I now think putting those read keys out there, or, you know, showing a quarterback and receivers possibly, you know, depending on what kind of system you run, the rotation of the secondary with just some of the key players, adds a lot more to it than just having them run on air.
The downfall of the walkthrough, the old school walkthrough, is that you got one group out there and then you got the rest of the team behind you, you know, thinking about who knows what. And then, you know, and then there's no post-snap reaction. So I think, you know, just kind of trying to mix all that together as much as possible to get the most out of it while not, you know, because once you get, you know, once we get mid-season, you know, I mean, we are conditioned. We know our techniques, you know, so it's not, you know, we have ran to the ball already that day. You know, it's not about that. It's about making sure our alignment and assignment and execution is key, you know, on the blitzes and all those things. And just being the most efficient you can with your time inside of those periods, and making sure that the guys, that's my thing, is that the guys get the rep they're going to get in the game. I want them to get that rep so they can play with confidence. So we can go in at halftime and we can say, hey, they're doing exactly what we told you they're going to do. You know exactly how to play it. Let's go play with confidence, play fast.
Coach, I appreciate you sharing this idea with us. It's a simple one, but I think something that can be very effective for coaches around the country at every level. So I appreciate you sharing that. Before we go here, I guess a little bit more, you know, different focus on the question I usually ask at the end. Now, you're the head coach of the Missouri S&T Miners. For you, what's that one thing as a team now, as the whole team, that's really going to give your guys the winning edge in 2019?
Winning just comes back to right decisions, making the right decisions from now until the start of the season, and then that game week, and then leading up into the game. It just comes back to making a bunch of right decisions. I mean, piling those up together. You know, everybody works hard, and everybody, you know, everybody puts all they got into it, but just making the right decisions when it counts, and that doesn't happen on Saturdays. It happens, you know, all year long. So that's it.
Coach, how can our listeners connect with you to follow you guys and learn more about what you do?
Yeah, we're on social media, mainly on Twitter. I'm at Todd Drury, and then S&T Football is on Twitter as well. So, yeah, check us out.
Coach, I always appreciate the time. And, again, congratulations. Best of luck to you and the Miners in 2019.
Thanks, Keith.
Coach was gracious enough to share some clips of his walkthrough setup and how they do it in practice. Check that out on our show notes at blogs.usafootball.com. Coaches, check out our system for developing leaders that we've partnered with Focus 3 and Brian Kite on. Go to usafootball.com/Focus 3. You're able to get the virtual training for R Factor and Lead Now for coaches. I think it's a great program. Check it out at usafootball.com/Focus 3. Practicing efficiently is always important. We've put together some great systems for top-level performance in the skills of tackling, blocking, and defeating blocks with our advanced tackling system and our contact system. Check those out at footballdevelopment.com. Register with your email address, get our free shoulder tackling system, and choose 3 free videos of your choice from either the advanced tackling or the contact system. Again, that's footballdevelopment.com. Follow us on Twitter at FBDEVCoach. We're doing some great things there daily, all kinds of great content for you. And if you're enjoying the podcast, head over to Twitter and give us a 5-star rate. Take a minute to write a review. It helps us out.
Thanks for listening to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. For more resources, visit the Coach Performance Center at usafootball.com.